All right, let's just opening in prayer. I just welcome you all in the name of Jesus, and I know that something good is in store for you all, for us all, as we participate in this live meeting. Let us pray. Eternal God and my Father, I want to give you thanks and I want to give you praise for this another opportunity to be in your presence. We do not take it lightly, O God, that you would muster us at a time as this. Indeed, we need you more than ever. We need you, O God, to be our strength as we go through the various challenges that life has to offer. We thank you, mighty God, that through it all the experience that we have gone through, we would have seen you shining in the light of your glory and would have known, mighty God, without a shadow of a doubt, that without you holding our hands, we could not have made it through thus far. And so, Lord God, we humble ourselves before you this another Saturday. We humble ourselves knowing, mighty God, that we are not our own, but we belong to you. We humble ourselves knowing that you are our way maker. You are the one that holds us up. Yes, mighty God, would have been lost and down. We thank you, Lord, that you have rescued us when we were perishing. You cared for us so much, mighty God, so you have made a way for us where there seems to be no way. And we exalt you, mighty God. We lift you on high. There is none like you, mighty God. We appreciate you in every way, oh God. We thank you for your saving grace. We thank you for your tender mercies. We thank you for loving us so much. Hallelujah. That you have caused even us, mighty God. Yes, Lord, to develop a new portion, a new measure of love that we can indeed love others, mighty God. We thank you and we praise you, mighty God. We pray that you will open up our spiritual appetite even now as we would talk about your word, mighty God, as we would make it. Hallelujah, that you would make it so implicit to us that we will know, mighty God, how to live by it. Lord God, I pray that you will speak to us in clear language that we understand even this evening, that you will cause your word, mighty God, to be in us so much so that we'll understand every intricacy of it. Speak to us like how you spoke to Moses, mighty God, in words that he could understand in his own vocabulary. Yes, mighty God. So you don't have to think of a second guess as to what you are saying. Cause us as a people, mighty God, to have that type of relationship with you so that your words from you to us, mighty God, will be understood and we will act upon it because we would already know what you would have required of us, mighty God. Cause us, mighty God, to be so exposed to you, mighty God, in such a way that our life will show it in the name of Jesus. Let our light be a hope and light so that others, mighty God, looking on will see, hallelujah, the glory of Jesus shining brighter and brighter in and within our surrounding. I pray, mighty God, that our very presence in your midst, Lord God, will cause, oh God, a change in the atmosphere. I pray, God, that we will never be the same after being exposed to your word, mighty God. I pray even now that you prepare my mouth. Yes, mighty God, to be your mouthpiece, my ears, to hear from you. I pray, mighty God, that you will send up my spiritual antenna, Lord, to reach up to glory. So as I listen to you, mighty God, indeed, your word will come forth with power and with clarity. We pray, mighty God, that you will control every atmosphere that we are in even now, wherever we are in our house. Yes, mighty God, wherever we are. On the road, wherever we are, that Lord God, you will cause us, yes, mighty God, to have a atmosphere that is conducive to worship and to praise your holy name.
Yes, Lord.
Have your way now, mighty God, and yes, be thou glorified in the highest place as I tell you thanks and as I give you worship in Christ's name. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Amen. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. So
amen.
Love you the world that he gave us his son.
Amen.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt your name above all names.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hey. Before we invite Sister Ava to read our first lesson for us, Sister Ava will do the first lesson, and it's going to be taken from Exodus chapter 9, and she will read from verse 13 to 21. As she prepares to read, I just want to just bless God for you all. You know, we're going to look at the topic this evening, still doing the plagues. We're still looking at Moses. You know, we're still looking at God's perfect plan of salvation. But we're looking at a topic specifically this evening. Tell Pharaoh, hallelujah, to let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness.
Hallelujah.
That's the topic that we're going to look at this evening. Tell Pharaoh to let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness. You know, as I got that topic this morning, you know, it took me a while been looking at that topic and, you know, really wondering about it. You know, the Israelites has come to a place where they had enough. That's God's chosen people, the Israelites. They came to a place where they had enough. And by this time, they would have been in bondage for over 400 years, enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years. And they cried out to God. And God sent them a deliverer in the person of Moses. You know, the Bible,
yes, Lord.
The Bible in Exodus 12 and verse 37 would recorded that over 600,000 men would have left Egypt with Moses doing that massive redemption. Over 6,000 men. So my question to you this evening is, can you imagine 600,000 men? We're not counting the younger ones. We're not counting the women. We're just counting 600,000 men. Can you imagine 600,000 men lifting up their voice in one accord unto a God that hears and answers and understands? Can you imagine the effect that would have been on glow and heaven?
Thank you, Jesus.
God responded when 600,000 men would reach out and say, Lord, we have had enough. Enough is enough. We need to get out of this bondage. We know that there is something greater than what we are in now. We are not supposed to be anybody's footstool. We are supposed to be triumphant. And what the regime that we are in now, it doesn't seem as if we are being triumphant. It doesn't seem as if we are getting any stronger. We are being getting weaker and weaker every day, having fear and his men being Lord over our lives. We are God's people, and they cried out. The Bible didn't record a specific prayer, but I surmise that it was maybe even the same prayer day in, day out, because they had a common goal, a common purpose, and they realized that this is not what God has created them to be. I wonder how many of us this evening are in a position where we realize that this is not a comfortable place where we would want to be. And we understand that there is something more for us in God that we need to tap into in order to be released from the bondage that we may be in at any particular time. You know, I just, you know what? As I look at it again, I realize that God would want to lead them to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. He'd want them to lead them to Canaan land, you know, a prosperous land. He had a plan. God had a plan for them. But why the wilderness? Why would God want Israel to go into the wilderness to worship him? Why wouldn't he just take them over into Canaan, where there is milk and honey, and let them worship there? You know, why would he have them rooted through the wilderness in order to get to the promised land, a land that is flowing with milk and honey? You know, but there's a purpose. Everything that God does has a purpose. And if God would have just taken them over into Canaan land, a land that is flourishing, flowing with milk and honey, then the Israelites, God's people, we wouldn't appreciate the journey. We wouldn't appreciate where God has placed us. And so when God would have taken you through a place of dependence, because in the wilderness, you have to depend on God. There's nothing there to sustain you unless it's God provided. In the wilderness is a dry place in your life. A dry place. There is no Walmart or no convenience store in the wilderness. There's nothing that is growing in the wilderness so to nourish you, like fruits or whatever. It's a wilderness. It's a deserted era. It's a dusty place.
Dead spot.
You know, yeah, it's a dead spot. If you want water, God have to provide the water for you. If you want meat, God have to provide the quail for you. If you want shade, God have to provide the shade for you. If you want light, God have to provide the very light for you. It's a place of dependence where God called you to worship in the wilderness. It's not a place where you would be comfortable in your primes or in whatever. Many times during that wilderness experience, the people of God, the Israelites, would want to turn back to where they were. But they couldn't have turned back at that time because they realized that they were blocked by the Red Sea. They realized that their own strength could not have fought back the Red Sea. It is Moses, his rod, that God has empowered, that would have crossed the Red Sea for them so that they could go over into the wilderness. And they could want to turn back, but they realized that there is nothing, there's no route for turning back. I hope some of you this evening could catch that picture and say, where God has elevated you to now, there is no route behind you to turn back to where you're coming from. There's a Red Sea that separates.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yes, Jesus.
There's no route to turn back. There's no route back there to turn back. And then they're going forward under the mighty hand of God. And they soon have a Jordan to cross. Now, when they would have crossed that Jordan, if they want to turn back over into Egypt, which represents a type of sin. Egypt, a type of sin. If they want to go back into Egypt, they would have to cross back their Jordan and they would have to cross back the Red Sea. So they have gone too far. They have to just head on into Canaan land, a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Understand this, people of God. It's not a barren land. Canaan land is not a barren land. It's a land that has been occupied by the Jebusites, the Amalekites, all these other people. They were on this land and they had to fight their way to get into Canaan land, even though it's a promise of God. So even though our Canaan land, our land that is flowing with milk and honey, is in New Jerusalem. God has promised
Jesus.
We get over into that New Jerusalem. Yes, and Lord. It's not what you just put down waiting for us like that without we ourselves doing something. Mind you, it is not by works that you are saved, but by grace we are saved. But when you are saved, you are saved to do good works. Good works must follow you as a believer when you are saved. You are not saved by your good works, but you are saved to do good works.
Yes. Oh, yes. Come on, read Ava.
It involves us as a people of God that there is something that we have to be actively doing in order to inherit God's promise for our life. You remember, God said to Joshua that be strong and be courageous. Joshua did not use that as a monument per se, as to say that he's going to have the victory without doing anything. Joshua rose up early in the morning.
Very early. Oh, yes.
He rose up early in the morning because there is work to be done. You know, not because God tells you that you're going to pass your exam, you're going to stop studying.
No.
You've got to study more diligently, because then you had a purpose of which you're studying for. You're going to pass your exam. God already said that you're going to pass.
Amen.
You know, it's not a time for you to lay back because of God's promises. They're going to just lay back. I am saved and I'm sanctified. I don't need to witness to nobody. I'm saved and I'm sanctified. I don't need to spread the good news to nobody. God. I am saved Praise and I'm Lord. Sanctified. I don't care about what my neighbor is doing. I'm saved and I'm sanctified. I don't care about praying for the government of this country, because I am saved and I'm sanctified. It's a time when God promises you something. It's a time of diligence. You are to work diligently in order to step into the goodness of what God would want to step into. People of God, you know, it's a time when we have to really, you know, when you're saved, it's a time when you really have to tap in to what God would want you to tap into. So out of all the places, Jesus, God would want to lead us into the wilderness first before he guide us into the promised land. Mind you, look at it. Yes, he wants to lead us in the wilderness before he take us to where we ought to be. Mm-hmm. I wonder how many of you here, apart from myself, that is going through a wilderness experience right now.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's wilderness. A place of complete dependence upon Almighty God.
Oh, yes.
It's a place where you recognize that promotion comes not from the east nor from the west, but from God Almighty himself. You know, it's a place where you recognize Jesus. That everything have to be about God. Yes, nothing Lord. About you. It's a place where you come to, you are reduced so that Christ may be elevated in your life. It's a complete dependence upon Almighty God. Amen. Yes, so God take them into the wilderness in order to get them over to Canaan land. God would take them to the wilderness to get them to the promised land. God would take them into the wilderness to get them to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Don't think it's anything strange about the fiery trials that is about to try you as a believer of God. But it is something to prepare you for what is to come. Remember this. Peter said that God is not slack concerning his promise, according as some men would call slackness, but is long suffering to us all, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Know that God will not take you somewhere where he cannot keep you. If he's taking you through a wilderness experience to get you to what you want, then it's going to keep you through there, through many dangers, toil, and snares. You would have already come when you would get over to that promise that God has in store for you. Amen. Yes, amen. I just want you to just let that digest in your spirit.
Amen.
In your spirit a bit. I know it's a whole lot. It's not intentional, but it's a Holy Ghost setup. It's a Holy Ghost setup. That's not a part of my notes or anything like that, but it's a Holy Ghost setup. It's not intentional, so bear with me, because God is God, and this is his platform. He's the one that is in control. Amen. I should have had Sister Ava reading the first lesson, like from 10 minutes after 8. Yes, 10 minutes after 8. That was the time that is supposed to be read. And my comment on it should be at 8:15. Because I got a structured timetable here to guide me through, but
just start to preach.
But God is the one that would have erased what I've written from time to time and stuff and inject what you
want.
We
bless God for the word, Brother Scott. We bless God for the word. Yes, I receive it.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. God is in charge, people of God, and he has been doing some marvelous things. And throughout the process of this week, you know, he would have done some things that he would have, that under normal circumstances, it would have been done in 10, 20 years. The way he has been compacting stuff in my life. You know, really? He has been compacting stuff in my life. And, you know, he has erased the very things that I think I know and inject what he would have me to know at a time like this. So, you know, it called for yieldedness. You know, nothing good that I have done or any one of us would have done to deserve him. But his grace and his mercy. At this time, we're going to call on Sister Ava to read the first lesson for us from Exodus 9, verse 13 to 21.
13.
Amen. Amen. Blessings. Blessings, everyone.
Bless the Lord, sister.
So I'll go for it in Jesus' name. The first lesson will be coming from Exodus 9. I'll read from verse 13 to 21. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Get up early in the morning, confront Pharaoh and say to him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says, let my people go so that they may worship me. Or this time I will send the full force of my plagues against you and against your officials and your people, so you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. You still set yourself against my people and will not let them go. Therefore, at this time tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm that has ever fallen on Egypt from the day it was founded till now. Give an order now to bring your livestock and everything you have in the field to a place of shelter, because the hail will fall on every person and animal that has not been brought in and is still out in the field, and they will die. Those officials of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord hurried to bring their slaves and their livestock inside, but those who ignore the word of the Lord left their slaves and livestock in the field." Amen. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What translation did you read from?
The New International Version.
Okay. I was looking at King James. Okay.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Yeah, so we see Moses, he went. Thank you for that reading, Sister Ava. Bless God for you. We see Moses, he went early to Pharaoh. And we're looking at the seventh plague, the hail. Yeah, a devastating hailstorm accompanied by thunder and lightning destroyed crops and property and killed people and animal in the open field. You know, and amen. We see the Lord warns before he strikes.
Hallelujah.
He won't, the Lord won't do nothing unless he first tells us so. You remember in the days of Noah, Noah preached for the people to repent, to turn to God for 120 years. No one repented except his family. While Noah was building the ark, having been instructed by God about the very measurement and the very material that he would use to build that ark, those around him would mock him. They would laugh at him, jeer him, you know, because they're saying that his foolishness is doing. Those that around him, they would be just living for the moment, and they would think it's all peace and safety. You know, they would think it's all peace and safety. They would mock him. They would jeer him to scorn. They wouldn't believe a word that he's saying. to repent and to turn. And you know, in those days, you know, there were giants living on earth. You know, it was some massive people, and they were so ungodly. They were so set in their ways and stuff. And Noah built that ark, being instructed by God. He preached to the people to turn, to repent, and they did nothing. They did nothing. You know, and we also see in David, you know, God does nothing without he first warns us. We see David, when he sinned against God and Uriah's family, you remember what David did? He committed adultery with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. And he ended up killing Uriah because of that same instance. You know, he killed Uriah because he didn't want Uriah to cover his sins. You know, and God, before God strike David, he would rise up Nathan the prophet.
Nathan.
He would rise up Nathan the prophet to go in to talk to Moses about, to talk to David about what he did. You know, he said, imagine a man have plenty and this one man just have one little goat or one little something. And that man with the plenty come and steal that one little man goat. David was so upset about that, which Nathan the prophet said, and said that man should be dealt with. You know, and Nathan would have said, thou art the man, you are the man. That
he pronounced
such a thing.
He pronounced judgment on himself.
Yes. So God could have do it another way without sending the prophet Nathan to warn. But God don't do nothing without he wants. Whatever God is going to do, there's a many telltale signs that something is about to happen. That when it reaches us, we can't be in denial because we have already heard it from somewhere that God was going to do that. He confirmed his word with his people. He confirms it. Many a times you would hear something in your spirit and then you hold on to that word, and then couple days or the same day, somebody would have to tell you the same thing to confirm what the Lord would already drop in your spirit. He doesn't do anything without he first confirms it. You remember it was the prophet Isaiah that would have gone to Hezekiah and said, that sickness that is upon you, you're going to die. You're going to die. And then when Hezekiah would hear that word, he would go before God and pleaded for more. And it was then that God would have had 15 years to his life. So God doesn't do anything before he first warns you.
Yes.
Yes, he first warns. You know, when I look at Proverbs 29 and verse 1, it tells me that those that are often warned and doesn't change their ways will be suddenly cut off and without any remedy. You know, if you're often warned and you don't take heed to the warning, you'll be suddenly cut off and it's without remedy. It can't be remedied again because too late, mercy gone. You would have gotten the chance to make a recompense to that before, but you didn't do a biscuit about it. You just let it slide past, and now it reached the end where your calamity is right at your doorstep. It's too late because you did not build any fortified city. You did not build any defense against it, and now the judgment comes. And you're going to face the judgment because you fail to take heed when the time of when you should have taken it. And it's the same way Moses told Pharaoh that hailstorm would come tomorrow, this time tomorrow. Moses would go on to Pharaoh and say, thus said the Lord, hailstorm will come and it will destroy every crop. It will destroy everyone that is in the field. And he even goes as far as to tell them what to do to prevent the loss of any mankind, of any human, any life. Moses goes as far as to tell Pharaoh what to do. He said, call your men that are out in the field. Let them take cover along with their livestock.
Mm-hmm.
call them out. Let them take cover.
Warning.
So when God is about to strike, he make a way to preserve those who will take heed to his word.
Oh, yes.
He's not going to strike just like that without first telling you how to cover yourself or to prepare for it. He said, if you want to go into the pearly gates, if you want to go to heaven, Jesus is the only way. Accept him by faith, receive him by faith, and you will be saved. You know, he tells us how to do it. You know, before he strikes. You remember, as I was talking about Noah preached for 120 years, you know. Maybe your age plus your grandmother age and your great grandmother age maybe equal to 120. So anytime now, anything can happen if you're not under the covering, if you're not saved. Amen? Yes. So it's the same way Moses warned Pharaoh, and Pharaoh didn't take the warning. You know, and he suffered the loss. He suffered the loss of the men that were in the field because of that very thing. While Sister Camille, who prepared the second lesson, taken from Exodus chapter 9, verse 22 to 20 to 30. You know, Exodus chapter 9, 22 to 30. Yes, it's just to emphasize that God will warn us before he strikes. And when he warns, he requires of us to take heed to his warning. Listen and take heed. It's not for us to resent it or to put it down for later. Later may be too late. It is now. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time that you seek him while you're alive. Seek him while he can be found. Amen? Yes, so Sister Camille, are you ready with that second lesson for us? Exodus 9:22-30. Bless the Lord.
Amen. And it reads, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there were none like in all the land of Egypt, since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron, and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hand unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how the earth, that the earth is the Lord's. 30 and last. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not fear the Lord God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Sister Camille. Yes. Yes, I just want you to just think about that for a minute. Because the lesson before that, we see God would warn them, would tell them exactly what he was going to do. You know what? Moses could have gone there and speak in tongues, and they wouldn't understand nothing what Moses would have said. But Moses went there and speak in language that they understand. And everybody knew, Pharaoh and his men know what Moses said, what God would have said to them. You know, and Pharaoh witnessed, when Pharaoh witnessed the power of Almighty God, when Pharaoh witnessed the power of Almighty God, it caused him to recognize how powerless he himself was in the face. Yes, how powerless he was as the king of Egypt. He was powerless. You know, he and his men, they did not work nothing. You know, and Pharaoh said, Pharaoh, I love this, what Pharaoh, that Pharaoh said when he come to, when the rubber hit the road and he realized that in himself, he could find no safety in himself. He said, I have sinned.
Yes.
This time I have sinned. Mm-hmm. You know, he said life being lost, his cattle, he said all the land messed up. And he said, this time I have sinned. The Lord is righteous. Oh God, you are righteous. And I and my people, we are wicked.
Hallelujah.
That's what Pharaoh come to the understanding.
Yes.
When he see the calamity that is now overtaking him and know that he is the one that could have made things different if he had only obeyed the voice of Almighty God. When calamity comes upon us, people of God, if you don't know the Lord God Almighty, sometimes it's going to be too late for you to even meet get that window of opportunity to even make it into safety, you know.
My Lord.
Pharaoh life was spared. I don't know why Pharaoh didn't go out in the field at that time, but he himself stay hidden behind closed door. Because maybe in the back of his head, he know that it's going to happen. Because plagues have gone on before, and it did happen. The word of God came before, and it did happen. So now, he know that this is going to happen, and he stayed in. But he still have men out there. You know? That is why I must warn God's people, be careful who your boss is.
Yeah.
Because your boss would cause you to suffer while they themselves are well fed and in safety and would have you out there in the open.
Yes.
All the elements upon you. Meanwhile, they themselves are in peace and safety. Be careful who your boss is. You know, be careful who you call your boss. Yes, so Pharaoh would have said he and his men, they are some wicked brother. Some wicked men they are. They would acknowledge it. But then, so many people would have lost their life already in the field. So many cattle would have lost their lives and stuff. You know, it was too late when Pharaoh realized that. And even with all of that Pharaoh had experienced, you know, all that he has seen from the hands of Almighty God, and he know for sure that this is the hand of God, because it was spoken before. It was spoken before, and it happened just the way it was spoken. And even with that, he didn't let the people of Israel go, you know. His heart was still hardened, because it was then Moses and Aaron would have to go back to Pharaoh and would have to beseech, would have to pray to God, that God would remove, plague. You know, would stop that plague, would stop that the ill and stuff. And when it subsided, they get more wicked and set in their ways, because they realize now that there's an antidote. They can always call to the man of God to go and intercede on their behalf, you know, as long as it doesn't touch their life itself and their family, then they feel that it is all peace and safety. As long as it's not knocking currently at their address, at their doorway, then it's not violent until it really reaches into the palace. You know, so the Pharaoh would harden his heart still when the eel and the thunder and the lightning would struck and kill other people from other tribe and family. You know, but remember, you know, all these plagues that are happening in Egypt, they did not affect Israelites, the people of God. They were in Goshen, and they were safe and secure from all harm and danger. God did not cause it to happen to his people that is in Goshen. Amen. He preserved his people. He held them in the hollow portion of his hand. He surrounded them with his Shekinah presence and his Shekinah glory. He built a wall, a garrison. He built a garrison around them, a fortified city.
Yes, he said that in time of famine,
his people
not suffer. He said that. In time of famine, people not suffer. Hallelujah.
Yes, he secured his people, you know, because he had a purpose for us all. So don't you ever think for a moment that in spite of all that is going on in this country or wherever we are or wherever you are, that God doesn't have a hand in it to preserve his people and to protect his people through it all.
Yes, Lord.
It's a learning experience. Every day that you and I are alive and we go through various challenges is a learning experience to where God would have us to be. It's a learning experience as we go through the wilderness experience, because it is preparing us for Canaan land, a land that is flowing with milk and honey. It's preparing us for that promised land. It's preparing us for glory. It's preparing us to live with Christ through eternal years.
Jesus.
He's training us. So consider this life that we live as a training ground to live with Christ, to live with Almighty God through eternal years.
Ever.
So all that we will do here is not for naught, but it is to glorify him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He is our way maker continually. He preserved us in the midst of trials and situations that we would have been going through. Know for sure that his hand is not short, that he cannot bless, nor his ear is deaf, that he cannot hear your cry. He hears the faintest cry, and he knows your very need. Even before you would have interceded for it, he would have already made intercession for you with groaning, with words cannot be uttered. We are in the other palm of his hand, and we are covered there. We are covered there.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Yes, man. What? In the left of his rock.
Right there. You know, so know for certain that there is no temptation taking you, but that which is common to man. And God is faithful, who will never allow you to be tempted above which ye are able. And he will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. You and I are strong people because we are royal priesthood, a peculiar people that is called for to show the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are seated in heavenly places. We may be here on earth now, but we are seated in heavenly places.
Yes.
We are just pilgrims going through. We are going through this. Don't be there gathering for yourself manna that you know will spoil tomorrow, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't be there focusing your eyes on the things that are around you and the things of this world, that you become so hardened like Pharaoh that you can't even see the glory of Jesus getting brighter and brighter. Don't be fooled by the luxuries that you would have seen around you and want to gravitate to it, comes what may. Put yourself in the situation to be exposed to the elements of this world that will defeat you one day and just spit you out like garbage. You know, when you could have Just humble yourself in the wilderness. Humble yourself.
Hallelujah.
And drink from the fountain that is filled with blood, that is drawn from Emmanuel's vein, that will give you peace in the midst of the storm. How peaceful it is when you can know for sure that God is the one that is directing your path, that God is the one that would lead you through. How peaceful you that is, that even surpasses all understanding. You know, I'm taking my time. I'm taking my time with this word, you know, these plagues of Egypt, because we can learn so much from each individual plague that you'd be surprised to know the strength that we can get from it, so that we won't fall into the same similitude, in the same calamity as those people, as Pharaoh and his men. We won't fall into it. It's an example to teach us, so we can know how to walk softly before Almighty God, so we can know how we are to angle our fears while we are here in this land. Amen? Yes, we are to be so vigilant in times like these, people of God. You know, and as we would read his word, as we study his word, let it just rest indelible upon our heart, because it is his word that you and I are going to use to fight against the schemes of the enemy. Remember when Jesus was tested, when he after his 40 days of fasting, and the devil come to tempt him. It was the word that Jesus used to overcome.
To the devil.
It was the word. Yes. Jesus said, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written.
Yes. The word. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is word. So when you and I come face to face with temptation and challenges, know for sure that is the word we have to use in order to overcome the wicked devices and plans of Satan. We have to use the word. So it's a time when every little tickle of the word must make sense to us. A time like this, every little tickle of it must make sense to us, so we can apply it
in time. Mm-hmm.
Apply it right on time, in time, for every moment and every situation. It's an all-season word that we have. All season. It's not for the summer, autumn, winter, and spring. It's an all-season word, a word that can be used all the time, a word that is powerful every time you use it, a word that has meaning in every situation that you and I may go through. There's a word that is ready, a ready word. And you know what is a ready word? A word is a rhema word, a word that is directly inclined to attack you at the very point of need, to intercept the plans of the enemy in your and your behalf. Is a rhema word.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Word.
Yes. You know, so as we just concentrate on that, next week we'll look at the 8th and the 9th and the 10th plague, God's willing. You know, the one with the locusts. We look at the one with the darkness, and the one with the killing of the firstborn. You know, and then we would have realized that is at that time, the killing of the firstborn, when it actually reached in Pharaoh's house, that is when Pharaoh actually let the people of God go. When there's a song man that said, crime is never wicked until it's at the doorstep, you know. You will hear about it in the news, watch it on the news or whatever. But when it actually hits you right at the doorstep, then you realize how real it is. You could have heard people crying for mercy right across the news. And you could hear about this one, that one, accident there and there. But not until it reached your doorstep that you actually see the severity or how serious it is until it reached you. And we see it with Pharaoh. When the death of the first man reached in Pharaoh's house, that is when you would have let the people of God go. But we're going to look at it systematically, theoretically, and see what we can get from it, so that we ourselves can be strong people in the word of God. As we until Lynette would prepare to close us off in prayer at this time, 9:05, you know, I just want to encourage people of God to be vigilant, be watchful,
you know
that we're
what I like about this passage on Everton and others is in verse 13 of chapter 9, verse 13, when Moses says, "Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, let my people go."
Hallelujah.
That's a good one. That's a big word. Thus saith the Lord. And it is used by other prophets. In the other prophets, in the writing, thus said the Lord. And then it went on to say, Pharaoh was raised up for a time like this. A time.
Amen.
Yes, he was for a time like this. You see how hard his heart was? He hardened his heart. All that was happening around him, he hardened his heart. He was set up for a time like this. Another, let my people go. Set the Lord. Watch it. You watch it.
Amen.
For God's sake.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Let my people go.
Everyone. Yeah, release.
Good night.
That word.
Again.
Yes.
Good night, everyone, again.
Good night, Sister Killian.
Good night.
Eh?
Okay, I was waiting for her to stop until she finished speaking. Her message. Oh, is she finished? I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead, Sister Kenyan.
Interrupt her. Okay, so I just want to add to this revelation, and I was going to stay quiet, but you had spoke about David earlier when you were speaking. When he had killed one of the servant, I think it was a servant, a soldier or something, and slept with his wife.
Uriah.
And,
yes.
Right. So it's like a confirmation to someone or even to myself, because today I'm at work. You know, you remember you asked me to close, but I said I couldn't because I'm at work. But I still had to come and say something, because today I was in here and I was sent through the Holy Spirit to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And it's the same scripture that you're talking about with David. It is in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And I was listening to it. And when David sleep with the man's wife, and God sent a prophet to him, and he said, that man, that person shall surely put to death. And the prophet said to him, that person is you. Right, and the Bible said that he went out, he went on fasting, and he lay on his belly. I think it said naked, and he lay on his belly naked and weep and fast because of what God said he was going to do to his child. And he fast when the child was sick, and his servant said, when the child died, his servant didn't want to tell him because they were afraid, but he asked, did he die? And they said, yes. And the Bible said, David, get up and clean himself up and eat. And his servant said, what sort of thing this is you done? When the child was sick, you weep, and now he die, and you're eating.
Hallelujah.
And he said, because when the child was sick, I was weeping and asking, you know, to see if God was gonna change his mind, right?
Oh, yes.
But no, the child dead. You realize, okay, God is not going to change his mind. I said all of this to say that it's always a message into the message. And the message tonight was about when God speak his words, it cannot go back void. It doesn't matter if
Hallelujah.
You weep or you beg or you fast or whatever. God is a just God and he is a good God. And he will be speaking to you for years. Remember, he was talking to about Noah one for years. He will be speaking to you for years. But then it's a time and a place for everything, because the Bible also say that. And then God will just say, okay, since you're not listening, then this is what I'm going to do. you know, because you know right from wrong, I've been speaking to you for years. I don't want to hold up anybody, but there is always a message in a message. And God is saying tonight in this message, when I give you a word, it is my word, and my word must be fulfilled. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, Sister Katie, and bless the Lord. Indeed, indeed, there's a word in the word, and he always confirms his word.
I'm going to let you know. Have a great night.
Okay, Sister Eva. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Before Auntie Lynette prays, is there any prayer request? There is a prayer request that is here online that God promised. Hallelujah. That God promised that he would come to your rescue even now. That he promised that he would answer that prayer request right now. There's a prayer request. And as you speak the prayer request and the servant of God prays, consider it done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Continue to pray for me.
Oh, Heather and Gary.
Any other prayer requests as we go into prayer?
Yes, Brother Scott, please. Pain in my knee.
You got cut off, Mommy Bright. Could you say that prayer request again?
Oh, she don't. She put her on mute. Let me help her.
No, you're on mute. You're on mute.
She's having pain in her knee, so she's asking for prayer for pain in her knee.
You're asking for prayer for pain in my knee. My left knee, pain in my knee. So I'm asking everyone to pray for me.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Hallelujah.
Yeah, she's been going through this for like 2 weeks now, and it's bothering her. Yesterday, it hurt up again, and she cannot walk properly.
I'm touching mine. In mine, yes, I'm touching mine.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
That sounds like Sister Lyria.
Yes, I'm in Fort Lauderdale, but I'm on 3 hours.
Okay.
Yes. Well, I just wanted to say thank God, and thank you for all the prayers for my son. Because the last time we met up here for prayer, I mean, for, you know, Bible study and to worship, my son was having a hard time with his boss. And it's funny. When was it? Wednesday? The boss was fired.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
They walked him out. So now, you know, just to give him strength now to move on from a relationship, you know, into a better one, a more
relaxing
godly
one.
With a godly person. That's what he's looking for.
Thank God for answered.
And thank you so much. God is good. This is a perfect example that there's no one, but, you know, God is our everything. God is good.
God is good.
Yes.
Yes.
Just rejoicing. Yeah. The good Father.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. And if you could just pray for my migraine. I have a migraine daily for the past 2 weeks, every day. So.
Sorry.
And my blood pressure, so.
Hallelujah.
And even though I'm so far away, you know, coming on to hear the word.
In prayer, no distance.
You know, it was very difficult for me to get on at first, but no. I'm on. I'm here.
Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And Brother Andrew is there with you?
Yeah, he's here. He's...
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Over to you, Auntie Lynette.
Oh, praise God. Father, we thank you, oh God, for the freedom, mighty God, you have granted us to come boldly before your throne of grace, where we'll find you in the time of need. Father, we thank you for the power of praise and worship tonight, Lord, as we praise and we worship you for your goodness towards us, not because we are good, but because of your grace and your mercy. We thank you tonight, Lord, that you are a God of power and might. You rule and you reign, mighty God. So we thank you tonight. You are Elohim, O God, the Most High God. You sit high and down low. You know everything about us, O God. And you are here to deliver us, O God, from all evil in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your words tonight, mighty God. Your words turn unto you, God. But God, they will accomplish what you send it to do in the name of Jesus. We thank you tonight, mighty God, for reminding us that we must study your word to show ourselves approved, so that we can rightly divide the word, which is truth, in the name of Jesus, which is a weapon of God against the enemy. We thank you for your word, which is a weapon, oh God, which brings deliverance. Your word, which brings healing, mighty God. Your word, oh God, which set the captives free in the name of Jesus. Help us to honor you tonight, oh God, as we desire to know more of you. Mighty God, we ask you, fill us with your wisdom. Fill us with your power, oh God. Help us to go deeper in you, mighty God. Lord, we reject every thought that is contrary to your truth. And we declare tonight, oh God, that we are a carrier of God's glory. We thank you tonight, oh God, that your presence goes with us. Wherever we are, oh God. You are Emmanuel, God, with us. We praise you tonight, oh God. You are before us, you are behind us, above us, below us. Lord, we thank you, mighty God. We thank you. We come against you, oh God, of deception, confusion, oh God, that will hinder us to study your word. Will hinder us, oh God, for the purpose that you have.
Hallelujah.
Give us hope and a future in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us, God, to trust you more. Amen. When the challenges come, mighty God, we depend upon you. Thank you, oh God, that you are strong and mighty. We praise you tonight, that we can look to you, oh God, to the hills from whence cometh our help. Lord, our help when it comes from you.
Yes, Lord.
The earth. We ask tonight, oh God, that will strengthen us in your word. Jesus. We ask tonight, oh God, that you will give us insight. Give us eyesight, Lord God. Help us,
Lord.
Steve. Help us not to look to the right or to the left, oh God, but to keep our eyes on you like a flint in the mighty name of
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Oh God, that we can fall, but Lord God, sometimes we are down in the valley, but help us, oh God, to look to the hills, because your help in ages past and a hope in years
to Lord.
We trust you tonight. We praise you, mighty God, as we lift up and say before you tonight, those who do not know you, God, as Lord and Savior, we ask, oh God, that you love, that you protect them, that you guide them, that you lead them, oh God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask that you break every chain, oh God. Break every fetter.
Hallelujah.
Chain, Lord God, that is holding your people captive. We pray tonight, mighty God, that you'll release them from the hand of the enemy. By the blood of Jesus, we ask that you transform their lives and renew lives, oh God. And make them into what you created them to be. You created them to worship, oh God. But the devil, oh God, is rampant. So we pull down every stronghold of the devil tonight. We demolish, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Everything that the enemy is doing to your people. Lord, we decree victory by the blood of Jesus Christ. Speak life, oh God.
Hallelujah.
We speak a blessing. anointing over your people. Resurrect what is dead, mighty God.
Yes, Lord.
Hope of glory. Whatever the situation, oh God, around mighty God, we ask tonight that you rescue the perishing and care for the dying.
Hallelujah.
Mighty name.
Yes, Lord.
Lord God, we thank you for our speaker tonight, Everton. We ask, oh God, that you will empower him. We ask tonight, Lord God, that
you give him
a double portion, as Elisha asked Elijah, for a double portion of his anointing. We ask that you will anoint God from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. And even when he speaks, thus said the Lord, let we who, oh God, who are online will feel that holy anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask, oh God, that you touch his lips of clay, oh God, as he says, thus said the Lord from the throne of grace. We thank you for him tonight, Lord. We thank you for speaking in his heart and allowing him, oh God, to gather us together as a group to learn more of you. Mighty God, we ask that you unite our hearts as one. Help us to be of one accord, mighty God, so that you can bless us. We thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Because when they were on one accord, Lord God, you could bless your people. We praise you tonight. We honor you, mighty God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are God of power and might, and that there's nothing you cannot do. Lord, you are strong and mighty. You rule with your righteous right and mighty God. So we thank you tonight, and we ask, oh God, that we yearn more of you, oh God, as your word said. David said, as a deer panted after the water, oh God, his soul panted.
Hallelujah.
So help us, Lord God, to pant after that living water, as the woman of Samaria said, give me that living water so that I may never thirst again. So, Lord God, we ask that you quench our thirst, oh God, and let that water flow through us, that living water, that, oh God, we'll never thirst again. We thank you for each and everyone tonight, oh God, on the line.
Yes, Lord.
They have needs, oh God, as their faces differ, so their needs, oh God. We pray for Heather tonight. We pray, mighty God, that the pain she's
feeling.
We ask that you send your word to that spot tonight. And Lord God, that virtue that left your body as the woman with your blood will flow through Heather right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Sister Bright tonight, Lord God, with her knee, God, your created body, your created God, as Ezekiel was in the body of dry bones, and Lord God, he asks if these bones can live, and mighty God, the bones come together, bone to bone, flesh to flesh. Mighty God, tonight we pray, oh God, that Sister Bright bones will come together.
Hallelujah.
Mighty God, whatever is happening in, oh mighty God, we thank you tonight. Do it again, mighty God, because nothing impossible with you. Lord God, we pray for Gary tonight, whatever the situation, we don't know, God, but you are all knowing, you know everything. So we lift you before the throne of grace. We pray for Lyria's son tonight, Lord God. We ask that you give him strength when he's weak, because God, you promised that when we are weak, you will strengthen us. So we ask that you strengthen that son tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Help him to look to you, oh God, who is his hope and stay. Help him to trust you with all his heart. Not to his own understanding, but in all his ways, mighty God, you, and you shall direct his part by the power of the Holy
Spirit.
Lord God, we pray for Lyria and that migraine. By the blood of Jesus, we declare and decree tonight that migraine will go by the blood of Jesus. We declare tonight that pain will go in the name of Jesus. And that body, oh God, function, oh God, as you created to function In the name of Jesus, we speak life for you. Light, oh God, and we praise you, and we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we thank you for what you are doing in this group by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we
start
to work, oh God, we ask that you would empower us for service in your kingdom by the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you tonight. We praise you, mighty God.
Hallelujah.
We glory. We give you all the praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. In
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We worship you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy, mighty God.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
To God. Thank you,
Lord. Yes, Lord.
So God heal everyone. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, oh God, for the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. We bless your name, Jehovah.
Hallelujah.
Hey, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank heal you, Jesus.
Oh, God. Send your word, mighty God, and heal them in
yes,
the name
Lord.
Jesus. God,
in
you
the
know,
name of Jesus.
Lord God, thank you, Jesus. Sick bodies cannot worship you, oh, God. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
oh,
Jesus.
God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory.
God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Bless God.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Auntie Lynette, for that
thank
anointed
you,
prayer.
Thank you, Jesus.
Surely the presence of the Lord
thank you.
Is in this place. And we are blessed to be in such blessing.
Thank you.
You know, to God be the glory. Great things he has done.
Hallelujah.
As you go tonight, anyone have anything that they want to say or